Our lesson this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, God's Messenger's Defense Against Apostates and Their Errors. In view of reports of great needs and problems in various churches, much of what has been produced by church leaders themselves, we view the pastoral epistles, handbooks on local church ministry. The church's basic role is to be a conservatory of the truth. We found that out in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So those who preach and teach God's word must understand how to defend its members against apostasy, which is the opposite of God's truth. See, apostasy is the departure from God's truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, instructs God's messengers on this defense, and we view it for our insight and edification. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of coming into your presence this morning and studying the word of God. We ask, Father, for insight to understand the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then wisdom to rely on the Spirit to apply it in our hearts and lives in regards to this very important issue of the role of messengers of God in protecting the flock against apostasy. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, actually that the better translation is in manner of life, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee of prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. God's messengers must, for their own benefit, often tell their hearers how to discern apostates and their errors. Timothy was to be, and I know the King James Version, verse 6 says, putting these things in remembrance to the brethren. The Greek word is hupotithemenos, which is a present middle voice participle, the word pointing out. In other words, for one's own benefit. That's what the middle participle does. The middle voice is unique to Greek. We have active and passive voices in English, but in Greek there's a middle one between that. And it's where you're doing the action in an active force, but you're doing it for yourself or upon yourself. So pointing out for his own benefit to his hearers what he wrote. So God's messengers, for their own good, must often inform others how to discern apostates and their errors. Why is this so? If a pastor or a messenger of God doesn't continually inform his people, remind his people what is going on, the people may forget about that, and then they'll be more susceptible to being misled. And that just complicates the pastor's ministry. So if the pastor is constantly reminding people about these things, the people will be more cognizant. They'll be more aware. And when error comes their way, they'll have their defense up, and that will actually make the pastor's work a lot easier. That's what Paul's telling Timothy here. Now, the things that he's supposed to be pointed out are the things mentioned in verses 1 through 5, obviously, about how apostates, they fall away, they depart from the word of God, they go after new things, they speak lies and hypocrisy and so forth. Now, God's messengers must also refuse extra-biblical sources and ministry and instead exercise themselves unto godliness, commanding and teaching their hearers to do likewise. Verses 7 through 11. Opposite apostates, Timothy was to reject or avoid paraiteomai, profane and old wives' muthos, or tales or stories. These were extra-biblical stories about Bible characters that were composed by rabbis. So Timothy was to avoid paying attention to extra-biblical sources. This is so important, especially amongst pastors. Pastors, seminary professors, and so forth, there's a tremendous push that is occurring in evangelical circles now to get sidelined into reading this important book or that important book, when what they should be doing is spending time in the most important books of all, the Bible. And when pastors and leaders get away from paying attention to what the Word of God says and they start looking after what somebody else says about the Bible and so forth, they often get into error. So, rather, the messenger of God was to train himself unto godliness, setting his hope on the living God, the Savior of all, and especially of those who believe. And he was to teach and command these things. So, not only is he supposed to avoid the errors and the deception that is out there, but he's supposed to stay focused on Scripture. Not get distracted from that. One of the biggest challenges, I've been a pastor now for over 40 years, one of the biggest challenges that I have ever faced in the ministry is the challenge to my attention. What am I paying attention to? Am I paying attention to the latest fad that is out there, the latest book that somebody has presented, or am I paying attention to the Word of God itself? Every Friday, Dr. Dwight Pentecost used to tell us that we need to do study on our own. So every Friday, I make it a point of getting into the Word of God in the pastoral epistles. I read through the pastoral epistles. I also go through the Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22 passage that is the Laodicean church, the church of our era, and I just check on how I'm doing, how my thinking is doing in accordance with those directives. I also go through the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, which deal with Christ's recommendations and orders and directives to those who expound the Word of God in this era between the time when he canceled his, or postponed rather, his kingdom until he comes back again. What Bible teachers are supposed to be doing. And I'm constantly checking myself because I see there's always a tendency to get us as ministers distracted. So we've got to watch it. Then three, God's messengers must example godliness in their lives. Timothy was not to let his relative youthfulness shy him away from leading in the church. I don't think Timothy was actually a young man, but if he was around 40 years of age, he wouldn't have been seen as an elder. In those days, the elders were actually older men, and they actually had more cultural clout, so to speak, than a man who was just in his 40s at the time. But Timothy was not supposed to let his relative youthfulness shy him away from leading in the church. So how is he supposed to lead? And this is a recommendation that I would make to any pastor or any teacher or a relatively young man who's come into a leadership in the church. The way Timothy was to lead was by the influence of a godly example in his speech, in his conduct, in his love, in his faith, and in moral purity. There's an extra word in the King James Version that really isn't there. In spirit, that's not in there, but speech, conduct, love, faith, and moral purity. And the Apostle Peter dovetails in with this in 1 Peter 5:3, where he says that instead of lording it over the flock, what we need to do is to lead by an example. You know, as a pastor, I'm in my 70s right now, but when I see young men coming up, even if I don't care if they're just 18 or 19 or 20, you know, really on the young side. But if I see them living lives that are righteous, that impresses me, even though I'm in my 70s. And I begin to put more stock in what they say. If they say something during a children's conversation or I listen to them and they're trying to speak, I know it's backed up with a life. So if you want to impress people, especially people who are older than you and you're relatively on the young side, lead by example. Live that life. and that will give you a lot of credibility. God's messengers must also give themselves to the public reading, preaching, and teaching of Scripture. The word rendered reading in verse 13 is anagnosis, and it's the technical word for public reading. And what you would publicly read in the church was not some secular work. You would publicly read Scripture. This was often done it was always done in the synagogue. You would stand up to read the Word of God, the whole congregation stand up as the Word of God is read, and then the speaker and the people would sit down, and the man would sit down to preach. Very different. That's in Jesus' day, very different from what we do today. But it means the public reading of Scripture. The word rendered exhortation is paraklesis, exhortation, and what here refers to our practice of preaching a sermon. Now, the word rendered teaching, didaskalia, is just that, it's teaching. The teaching is what I often do, especially when our congregation is together and we have the adult Sunday school class. We open it up for give and take from the congregation. People ask questions, I answer them, we interact with them. It's sort of like a home Bible study that way. That's where a lot of the teaching goes on. Or if somebody calls me up on the telephone, talks with me, or asks me a question in regards to something on email, that I answer that. That's teaching. Now, Timothy was to perform these actions until Paul arrived. You'll notice verse 13, he says, till I come, give attendance to these things. So God's messengers are faithfully to occupy themselves with the public reading, preaching, and teaching of Scripture. One of the main reasons why I'm continuing to record these lessons like I am, even though I'm speaking in front of an empty congregation this morning, except my wife's here. My wife's been my audience throughout. And sometimes Gus is when he's recording in the sermons and so forth, he is. The reason I'm continuing to record this is because God has given me a requirement faithfully to minister. And I know that a large number of our people are listening and to these recordings, the MP3 recordings at least, and the video presentation and the sermons. And they're also downloading these notes, or they have them out in front of them. So it's very important that I continue this work. This is a job. God didn't say just because a pandemic comes, you have a big extended vacation. No way. This is a calling from God. So we're faithfully supposed to occupy ourselves with the public reading, the preaching, and the teaching of Scripture. Then God's messengers must utilize the spiritual gift that God gave them for service in their ministries. 1 Timothy 4:14, the spiritual gift was given Timothy at his salvation. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1-31. But he had been made aware of that gift through prophetic utterance at his ordination by the elders. And so since that prophetic utterance had indicated, Timothy, your gift is this or that, then Timothy was supposed to spend his time in that. When I was ordained by 7 different pastors, and when they were in the process of asking me questions and I was answering them and so forth, they picked up right away that I had the gift of teaching, and that I had a gift of teaching in a specific area, that is having tremendous recall of facts from the Bible and bringing it out to people. And I've had that input back from people of our church as well. It's interesting, those pastors said, Don, you need to stay with that. God will bless your ministry if you stay with that emphasis in your ministry. Don't try to play another game. Stay with that. Then God's messengers must give themselves fully to all of the above practices that we've just mentioned, that their hearers might see God's spiritual development in them, causing the hearers to have more confidence and heed in their teaching. I got a wonderful compliment from a lady who's come to our church. She had been in our church a number of years ago, had left, they'd been in other churches and so forth. She'd come back, and she said, I've noticed that you've grown. Pastor, you've grown in your relationship with the Lord since the last time I was here. And she says, that's very unusual to see in a pastor, and that's exciting to see, and I was grateful to hear that. Well, that's what God says. If you're doing the job that you should be growing, and people will see that. And when people see that growth in you as a messenger, they're going to have more confidence that God is behind your ministry, because it'll show up in your life. And God's messengers must watch their lives and beliefs to guard themselves and their hearers from error. In doing so, they would save themselves and their hearers. Now, in the context, the saving is not the salvation of the soul. When Timothy wrote what he did, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He's talking about saving from apostasy. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 1 and so forth, he mentions how the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and so forth. So what he's going to do if he stays with this, Timothy would save himself. He would deliver himself from apostasy. He'd also deliver the church from that. This shows the tremendous importance of the role of the messenger of God in the church. Now, I happen to be a pastor, but there are other men who do teaching in the church. In my absence, that we might have a special speaker come in, maybe a missionary or somewhere else, or one of the men in our church. Well, it's very important, whoever is ministering from the pulpit, adhere to the directives that Timothy has given here, because it affects the congregation and the congregation's spiritual welfare. So the lesson is, God's messengers must guard themselves and their hearers from apostasy by often informing the hearers for the messenger's own benefit how to discern apostates and their errors, by shunning extra biblical sources, by exercising themselves unto godliness, and by teaching and directing the hearers to do likewise. God's messengers must lead by example. They must faithfully devote themselves to the public reading, preaching, and teaching of Scripture, and use their spiritual gifts while focusing on these practices and guarding their lives and beliefs. So in application, may we who serve God's as God's messengers in the local church heed the directives of 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 16. And then may those of us who sit under the ministries of God's messengers understand the duties they have before the Lord, that we support and not oppose their efforts to heed God, for it is for the good of the whole body. It's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the writer of Hebrews made an interesting statement. He said, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." It's very important that the congregation be supportive of those who are ministering the word of God if they are seeking to do the will of God, if they're actually doing the will of God, because that's to the benefit of the congregation. If they make life difficult for those who are trying to minister the word of God and they oppose them when they're seeking to obey the Lord, that just creates a problem. And then sometimes it actually can inhibit the liberty of these messengers of God to be effective, and that hurts the congregation. So it's very, very, and these leaders have to give an account to God. They don't give an account to congregation. They give an account to God for what they're doing, so that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So may God help us in regards to this whole matter. And may God's messengers function for the defense of the congregation and themselves against apostates and their errors.